Thank you very much, Chi.
I am having problems.
Colleagues are also having the same issue. But if I understood you correctly, you said that I can proceed to administer the oath. Mr. Solani, can I please ask that you switch on your camera? Thank you, sir. Mr. Solani, can you please state your full name for the record as well as your current designation?
Thank you very much, honorable members. My name is Terry Ismail Solani. I'm the executive chairperson of the Institute of Election Management Services in Africa, IMS.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Solani, you have been summoned in accordance with Section 16 of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act 2004 to appear before this committee as a witness and to answer questions in respect of Part B of the committee's oversight inquiry into the appointment of Professor P. Mbati as the Vice-Chancellor of the Sefako Mahata University and related matters. Please be informed that by law you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily all the questions lawfully put to you or to produce any document that you are required to produce in connection with the subject matter of the inquiry, notwithstanding the fact that the answer or the document could incriminate you or expose you to criminal or civil proceedings or damages. You are, however, protected in that evidence given under oath or affirmation before a house or committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside of Parliament, except in criminal proceedings concerning a charge of perjury or a charge relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Please be aware further that in terms of Section 17(2) of the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act, a person who willfully furnishes a house or committee with information or makes a statement before it which is false or misleading commits an offence and is liable to a fine or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years. So you will not be required to take either an oath or to affirm your evidence that you're about to give is truthful. You may choose to take either or. Which do you prefer, sir, the oath or the affirmation?
The oath is okay.
And may I please ask you to raise your right hand and repeat after me? I swear that the evidence I shall give...
I swear that the evidence I shall give...
shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth...
shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth...
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you very much, sir. You are now duly sworn in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ibrahim. Morning. Thank you so much for availing yourself to be part and parcel of the inquiry and assisting the portfolio committee in doing its oversight work. We will now allow you to say your testimony by reading your written statement and taking us through the presentation as requested by the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I had requested a colleague of mine, Itumele Ndlozi, to also join us. I'm not too sure whether she is part of the hearing or if she has not as yet joined. And then I'm not too sure as well whether she will also be expected to take oath, or should I just proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Dulan. I can see Ms. Itumeleng is on the platform. Ms. Itumeleng, please advise with regards to Ms. Itumeleng having to take the oath. I assume she'd also have to take the oath.
Yes, Chair, that is correct. She would have to take the oath. If she heard me do the explanation, then she's welcome to just allow me to swear her in without repeating what I did for Mr. Solani, but she must just please confirm that she did hear exactly what I what I said earlier. In that case, I will then just ask her to either take the oath or affirmation and swear in accordingly.
Thank you. Mr. Leng, you will have heard the explanation given to Mr. Tulani, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Ms. Ibrahim, you may continue with administering the oath.
Thank you, Chair. Ma'am, can you please state your full name and designation for the record?
I am Itumeleng Joanne Ngozi, and representing INS Investor Communications Agency, that's in partnership with INSA.
Thank you, ma'am. Would you prefer to take the oath or the affirmation?
I'm happy to take the oath.
Okay, if I can please ask you to raise your right hand and to repeat after me. I swear that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you, ma'am. You're now sworn in. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ibrahim, and welcome to you too. Ms. Itumeleng, may I just confirm your surname, please?
Ngozi.
Thank you.
N-E-L-O-S-I.
Ms. Itumeleng, thank you, Ms. Ngozi. Ms. Itumeleng, may you continue, please, with your presentation and statement to the portfolio committee?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. It's quite a privilege to appear before this committee, and I will divide the presentation today in two. We have submitted both documents to yourselves. The first one basically deals with, and I think it's important for me just to put the context, even though my colleague Itumeleng has already indicated that our institute, IMSA, it's in partnership with INS. We using for the purpose of electronic processes, the platform that have been developed by INS, and hence the document that you have received, you would have seen that it contains the name INS and talks about some of the processes that the INS has gone through. And I'm just going to summarize that very quickly so that we can then get into the details of what actually happened at Sefako Makhato Health Sciences University. The document, as indicated, is divided into a few sections. There is an executive summary, the modern trends versus the status quo, transparent operations, security concerns, reporting and audit trails, solutions for persons that do not have an electronic delivery address, the importance of being independent, the vision of INS, and the mission and the core values, as well as the services. And then the document concludes with quite a number of clients that the solution has actually been used in. Now, in short, I can say that, as indicated, that INS specializes in creating bespoke, fully auditable, electronic proxy voting and election solutions that can be tailored to suit all organizations that require their membership to cast an electronic vote. And it is on the basis of this Sefako Makhato Health Sciences University approached us. We look at the rules and their requirements and tailor-made those rules, rather the solution, in order to be able to be consistent with the rules that have actually been developed. As I've indicated, my colleague, Ms. Ntosi, will go through that particular process of what actually happened. And as indicated in Section 2, over the last decade or so, the explosion of digital devices has begged the question why paper-based solutions are still being promoted, especially when most, if not all, corporate action activists trumpet the need to focus on three key performance areas, namely transparency of the process, equal access to the process, speed and convenience utilizing the process. And it is largely because of this kind of areas and the convenience of the solution that we as INSA decided to enter into this partnership with INSA, because we felt that having looked around that the kind of the solution and the platform that they have is a kind of the solution and the platform that we would need in conducting electronic voting and elections. And again, the solution is fully auditable. It also has got the encrypted transmission of data from solution database to user and vice versa. And then multiple versatile platforms can be used to participate, thus affording more members access. Now, for any electronic solution, there are always concerns about whether you can actually trust the solution that is being utilized or not. And then the issue of security, therefore, is paramount. Key security features are the use of data encryption techniques, regular scheduled backup of data, downtime elimination due to backup servers, and privacy of personal information is paramount. And our solution is deemed to be POPI compliant and ready. And use of up-to-date anti-intrusion tactics and technology to protect the database and site hosting the e-proxy solution. In terms of the reporting, the solution offers customized reporting, as I've already indicated, which includes transaction reference with date, time, and stamp, full user details, client identifier, shareholding upon which the election has been made, eligible shareholding to vote upon, elective choices made, all votes cast, reports available as CSV files on in Excel format. And I think you'll be able to see this again, as already indicated when my colleague provides the report. In terms of the audit trails, our iProxy provides a full audit trail and logs that record all actions taken by a client in date and time sequence. Similarly, all changes affected by the database's administrators are similarly logged. So I think, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, instead of actually going through the whole document, I'll take the document as read. As I've indicated, quite a number of clients, and not only limited to those that you have, we have used quite a number of, we have been using this for quite a number of organizations. And in fact, sometime last year we presented to Parliament with the intention of also being a platform that can be used by Parliament for the purpose of your voting. That process, as far as I'm aware, is still ongoing, and then we'll get a report in terms of whether our bid has actually been successful or not. But without really getting into those details, Honorable Chairperson and members, I'm going to request my colleague Kitumele Ntosi to then go into the details of what actually happened in the case of Sefako Makhato versus University. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Based on the requirements that were communicated, that there were three candidates that needed to be ranked for filling the vacancy of the Vice Chancellor of Sefako Makhato Services University, we were approached to actually build a customized platform that would then accommodate the requirement of ranking. And with every platform that we build, there's usually testing that happens so that the client can actually sign off to say that yes, the platform actually can carry out the function that we are looking for, taking of course into account the regulation around the process that's around the whole election process. In the case of Sefako Makhato, there were three candidates, and panelists had to rank the three candidates, and the one with the most highest ranking would have been. So what we did is we built a platform, and that platform, how then the panelists would access it, was via a URL, and for them to then log into the web-based link, they had to use their South African ID number to access the platform. And once they actually entered their SA ID number, they would have been sent a one-time PIN to their mobile as well as their email address as a second multi-authentication process. And once they had actually accessed the platform, the next step would have been would have been for them to rank each candidate. And how they would rank this is we had a drop-down box with the various ranking, and they would select their preferred ranking. And again, as they selected their preferred ranking, the platform would actually show an error if they elected the same ranking for, you know, two different candidates. And once everything was done from a ranking point of view, they would then click the submit button. And once they have clicked the submit button, they would then see on their screen a message that would have told them that they have then submitted successfully their ranking. And on those basis, we were then able to automate a CSV file with the results, which were then handed over to Mr. Tselane for scrutineering. And on those basis, he then communicated the final results of the election process to Sefako Mahato. Mr. Tselane, I'm not sure if there's anything else that I'm leaving out that you would have liked me to touch on around the platform. I mean, it was a secret ballot platform, and we had no way of tampering with the results because the results were communicated immediately after the elections took place. The entire process was automated.
I think, thank you very much, Idru. I think we've covered all critical aspects, and we are available to respond to questions or queries or statement from honourable members, honourable chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tselane, and Ms. Ngozi. May I please check if there are members who would seek to engage? I know we received the two documents that were sent to members. Usually what we would do is have witnesses or people that we bring to the portfolio committee or to the inquiry read through the entire document. In this process we have summarized the document that, you summarized the document that you've sent to us. So we might be in a situation where members will then ask for clarity again. But if I can just check if there are any members who would like to engage with what we've received thus far. Thank you, Honourable Idia. May I also, Honourable Idia, may you also kindly indicate if the network is a bit better on my side?
The way it's much, much better, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. And good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues from the Portfolio Committee and from the Department. Welcome, Dr. Tselane and Mrs. Ngozi. we really appreciate you taking your time to assist the committee in establishing some few things that may have arisen from the meeting we had on the 12th of May 2021 after we could not get the integrities of your voting system from the Chair of Council at Sefako Mahato. So welcome and thank you very much for the sacrifice you've taken from your business and your work cost implications with data and all of that. We really do appreciate. I don't want to, you know, take it for granted that you are here today. It's extremely important. Kindly take us through how were you appointed by Sefako Makgatho University in this process. I'm not sure who is going to be answering the difficulty of having two people answering is that you don't know who to pose the question to. So I'm just posing it to the company. The company will decide. Thanks. That is the first question. So,
the format of questioning will be interactive, so that we can allow for context to be brought into the conversation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Minister Letizia. We, as IMSA, have been advocating for electronic voting for a long time. And I think some Honourable Members may be aware that even at the time when I was still part of the Electoral Commission of South Africa, I kept on pushing for electronic voting. And because of our capacity as an organization, we were approached to submit our code by the university. And we thought it was an honor for us, obviously, to be able to test, to be able to showcase our capacity as an organization, having advocated for electronic voting over a long period of time. So it is only on the basis of the fact that we were requested to submit a book that we were appointed.
No, thank you very much. So you are not aware if you are the only company approached, or there was a sent out to more than one company in this case.
I really, Honourable Members, through you, Chairperson, I really wouldn't know. All I know is that we were requested to submit the code, and I submitted the code. I don't know as to whether the university had to approach any other person other than us, and I don't even know how many companies would have been approached.
Okay, no, thank you. And then how long after you submitted the code were you contacted or were you appointed by the university?
I think it could have been about a week or two. This happened during the hard lockdown when we were still in level 5, and I'm not too sure about the dates exactly, but it is during that period when I was approached, and then after having been approached, we worked on the solution with the team, that the technical team, and then we submitted to the university.
Okay. Do you recall the terms of reference of your appointment?
The terms of reference basically was that we should offer, and whether we have got the capacity to offer an electronic voting system, and how much that would actually cost, and if we can actually submit information pertaining to it. It is only that information that was given to us, and then we are obviously given the number of people as well as how the rules of the university operates in terms of the appointment of a candidate. We took that information. After having taken that information, we converted it, as we've indicated, we converted the solution to be customized to be able to meet the requirements of the university.
And in the terms of reference, you're not given the time frames?
No, we were not given the time frame except that we were told that it is urgent that we submit.
So the agency was only given were only shown to be only on the submission of your code.
Yeah, on the submission of the code.
And not on the process.
No, no, we were told that it's quite urgent that the university appoints the vice chancellor, and that the code should actually be submitted as soon as possible, and that there will be a process through which they would go, in terms of which now we would be meeting. We checked their availability, and they informed us on the date that they would be available, and then we submitted all the details to people as explained by Ms. Nkosi, all the participants for them to be able to access the system and be able to utilize it.
No, thanks, Ndatetsela. And then this electronic system of yours, has it ever been used in any institution of higher learning in South Africa before SMU?
I think Ms. Nkosi would assist me on this particular aspect, but I know that recently we submitted to the University of Free State for FRC elections. We have submitted also to the University of Venda, and we supposed to now finalize the implementation thereof.
And then, Mrs. Ndlozi, can you assist us if this system was ever used before SMU?
For a higher learning institute, no. But it has been used for some of our other clients, like the Legal Practice Council. They also had to elect new council members nationally and regionally. So, and they had varying rules that had to be applied to the platform. They used it, as well as the Legal Practitioners Fidelity Fund has actually used our platform. We also have an industry regulatory body, SICA, that has also used our electronic voting platform. So the track record is quite good within your sort of like industry regulatory bodies, which to me could be also similar to higher learning institutions in comparison.
Okay. And let's go to Sfaku Makhatu. You are then appointed. At what point in the recruitment, in this recruitment process, was your electronic voting system utilized?
Not too sure if honourable member, I understand the question properly, and then you will advise me if I have not responded adequately to your question. As I've indicated, that we were given a responsibility to provide a code, and then we were told that this is an urgent matter that needed to be resolved, and it is during that period when we were going through level 5, what do you call it, lockdown. So I'm not too sure about the dates, but that information can be made available because we've got electronic communication that we had with Sefako Makhatu University.
Yeah, I was asking, in the recruitment process, you would have voting taking place at different levels. Maybe for shortlisting, that voting immediately after interviews, you know, voting, and then, you know, up until you have shortlisted to the top three. So I'm asking, at what level did you conduct the voting for institutional forum independently? Did you do the voting for Senate on their own? did you, and then ultimately, did you conduct the voting for the entire council? That is what I was just trying to establish.
Oh, no, thank you very much, Honourable Member. No, we were given the names of people who are serving in the University Council. We were not working with the Senate or any other structures of the university. We only concentrated on the names that were provided for, and then all those members were members of the University Council.
Okay, so you only entered the process when voting was done at council level.
Absolutely. So through you, Honourable Chair, we were not part of the people who went through the interviews. We did not go through the interviews. We just coordinated the voting of members of the University Council.
Okay. So, and then when you entered today, the names that were submitted to yourselves, obviously, for council to vote on, were they 8 or 3 at that time?
There were 3.
So you only entered the final stage of voting. Okay. There's a network called the Higher Education Transformation Network. It is alleged in their submission to us and to the inquiry that this appointment process of Professor Mbati as the Vice Chancellor of Sfakamakgato University was flawed because according to them, the council was non-compliant with clause 2.2.5, sub-clause 2.2.5.7 of the policy and procedures for the appointment of Vice Chancellor, which in the main requires that voting should take place by way of closed ballot. They allege that voting was conducted through your system, which they allege that is an unsecure electronic platform that offers no secrecy, privacy, and confidentiality of voting by council members of SMU. It is therefore alleged that the council conducted the impunged administrative action unlawfully and has deviated from the official process in the midst of level five lockdown. What is your view on these allegations?
Honorable Chair, through you, we would not be able to comment on all other processes that the University Council followed in terms of the appointment. We can only talk about the capacity of our system. We have already indicated that if the system is fully auditable, that the privacy was protected, none of the members of the university council who participated could actually see how other people have voted. I have already indicated the virtues of the system that we are using, and we are available for any person to audit the system whenever they feel aggrieved by the decision. But in terms of the system, we can confidently say that it is auditable, it is transparent, but it does not allow for people to know how people have actually voted. And then this we ensure during the process of vote.
Yeah, thanks. And then Ms. Ndlozi did indicate that after each member of council had voted, it goes into its own cloud where only you could see, right? And then when it's there, after they've compiled the vote at that level, they then send it to yourself for scrutiny and then to communicate the results after that. and I want us to be a little bit technical on this part. So how secure is it that we have voted here all 22 of us on the platform now. And then it goes to Ms. Ndlozi, and that's cloud level. How can I be sure that she can't tamper with the voting process at that level? Is your system, does your system, or is she blocked from changing the voting process at that level? Can she, technically speaking, can she not tamper the results at that level?
I couldn't. And like Mr. Tulani indicated, with every platform that we have BDO on board that actually audits our platform to ensure the integrity around the whole voting process. So in this case as well, I could not be able to go and tamper without me being detected that I have actually tampered with the platform itself. And again, reporting also is automated. There was no human intervention or any manual process associated with us also generating a report. The report was generated electronically and it was then forwarded as a CSV file. And again, and please do bear with me at the risk of coming across as though we are repeating ourselves. The platform is very transparent and we are open to the platform being audited to make sure that it's only those panelists that actually their votes are the ones that were reported on. So I'm not sure whether that answers your question, Mr. Litsinge.
Yes, it does. And then you also mentioned that once it moves from that cloud, it goes to the supervision level, where Ndatetselane will then scrutinize. Ndatetselane, just take us to what does this process by yourself, the scrutinizing process entails? What do you do there in scrutinizing this process?
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Essentially what it entails is that, remember that we were given the rules, we were given information pertaining to how the rules should be applied, and then I had a responsibility to actually be able to look at the application of the rules in terms of the system and see as to whether it was consistent with the information that we were given. And then after having gone through that particular process, checking as to whether the ranking happened in the manner that it's supposed to be happening, it would then be that I submit information to say that I am quite satisfied the process has actually been followed to the T.
And lastly, were there any objections raised with how you have administered your electronic voting system?
No, we never received any objection from anybody. And as far as we were concerned, we thought that the process had actually gone smoothly. And we were actually surprised when we were called by the portfolio committee to come and account on how the process actually went. Nobody has actually contacted us to say whether there was any complaint or any objection in relation to the system.
Okay, and the University Council did not inform you that there was an objection lodged with them regarding the voting system?
Not at all, Honourable Member. We were not informed at all about any objection by either the university or any person. The first time that we're hearing about it is actually here now as we are appearing before you.
No, thank you very much to the both of you for answering without being evasive, answering to the best of your capabilities, and we really appreciate once more the time you've taken to assist us in this regard. Chairperson, I do not have any further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Litsiye. Honorable Mananiso?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me as well welcome the witnesses today. And what must say, indeed, Honorable Litsiye is correct to acknowledge their presence in this particular platform. And they are very calm in terms of answering to us on issues that we want to know as the portfolio committee. I'm covered on the issue of procurement of services and on the issue of were there any objections sent to them after this process. However, one would want to ask, because Mazelani indicated that for you to log in as the panelist, you need to use a South African ID, the URL link. Were all the panelists South Africans? And if not, what happened in a case that the panelist is not a South African? Which is question number one.
Okay. I just need to refer back to the list, but we were provided with ID numbers, which we then inputted into the system so that all those people using the ID numbers that were provided would then get access to the platform. At this point, I cannot remember whether all the ID numbers were actually SA ID numbers.
Okay. And then my last question is with regards to the system as well, to say what are the possibilities that if as members would want to see, is it possible actually for you to demonstrate to us how does this particular process work? Because I thought that we were just going to get a that exercise of demonstration to say this is how you log in and this is what will happen and so on. And thank you, Chairperson.
So I think in the document that Mr. Zelani would have shared with Parliament, it would have had screenshots that show you the web page that the panelists would have had access to input their ID number. And he would have also sent a screenshot where they would have received a one-time PIN. We are happy to demonstrate the platform. However, at the end of each and every voting process, we bring the platform down. This is to protect data that is stored on the platform. So at this current moment, even if I tried to log into the platform, I would not be able to because the platform has been brought down. It has been closed. The best we can do in this meeting is to perhaps share screenshots of how that platform looked like. And if we have to do a physical demonstration, it would have to be arranged because we would need to bring back the platform up. And I don't know if this is acceptable at this point, but at the end of every voting process, we leave the platform open for 3 months. After 3 months, we then bring it down.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Ndlovu. I think, you see, this is the point I was going back to in terms of the going through each document you would have sent to the portfolio committee from the start and not summarizing, because a big part of the request was that we get a demonstration of how it would have taken place. So perhaps if through the assistance of the Secretariat, if we could flight the document that has the screenshots, and then maybe you can take us through that particular process. So in an instance, so I, just going back to the question that Honorable Mananiso asked with regards to the ID numbers, would the system also detect a foreign ID number? If that makes sense, so not a South African ID number, but a foreign citizen ID number.
So for people people to have access to the platform, we were given a list of the, panel members that were required to vote. And we were actually provided with ID numbers. And in that in our platform, what we did is we inputted those particular ID numbers that were provided together with the mobile number and email address of each panelist. And on those basis, the platform recognized all those ID numbers that were pre-uploaded for the panel members to then have access. And at this point, as we are speaking, I'm trying to actually see if I can locate the list of panelists to actually identify if there was a non-South African ID number, because honestly, I cannot remember at the top of my head.
Okay, that's fine. Mr. Kulani, I see your mic has gone open. I just wanted to, Anela, are we able to allow perhaps Ms. Ndlozi or Ms. Apilane sharing rights, or would you perhaps want to share from your side if the document's accessible to you?
Yes, she's able to share. The platform is open.
Okay. Ms. Apilane, your mic was open. You may go ahead if there's something you wanted to say.
Okay, I was about to say, Honorable Chairperson, that I'm looking at the numbers, the ID numbers that were provided me.
Sorry, Terry, can I actually share my screen? Because I have also picked up all the list of those candidates with their ID numbers. Are you comfortable with me sharing it?
Yeah, I think you can do so. As I was saying, Honorable Chairperson, that looking at the numbers, I mean the ID numbers that we received, one would think that they are consistent with the South African IDs, but obviously from our side, it was not our responsibility to verify as to whether those are South African ID numbers. But, you know, they are the numbers that were given to us.
Okay,
and
that's
as indicated that those are the ID numbers and the people who participated in this panel.
Okay, I've shared my screen.
Yes, we are able to see the screen, Ms. Ndlozi. Could we then ask that you put it on slide format, and then you can take us through the screenshots as well. Because I think we can see that they are all, they look like South African ID numbers. And then you can continue then with the taking us through the presentation with the screenshots of how one would go ahead. I just wanted to ask, I think I was by and large covered by Honorable Ibia's question when he asked about, and you know, this process that you're about to take us through will assist with that in terms of one receiving the link and then having to they log in and there's the OTP, and you'll take us through that. The data from that point after someone has voted. I mean, in terms of the privacy of the process, you can't control who someone is sitting with at the time of which they vote, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, if it's an online voting system, it was considered because of COVID. So I'm assuming that the voters were not sitting in one space, but you don't know if someone was sitting with someone else. So from your end, the process, you have followed all due process to ensure that all due procedure to ensure that the process is as private as possible, but you can't control whether or not someone is sitting with whoever on there, because I'm assuming the link can be used from a phone, from a laptop, from a tablet, and also like in any process, even if it was a closed ballot, if someone after the process goes and tells whoever that I voted for whoever, you're also not, it would happen even if we had a physical closed ballot voting process. But also in terms of if someone were to take a screenshot of their voting or a screen recording of their voting, I'm assuming your system can't intercept that. And, you know, whether a person then takes a screenshot of themselves voting and then sends it to whoever they want to send it to. Your system can't intercept that, if I'm not mistaken. And then just perhaps the last question, or I guess remark, and you can clarify me if some of the remarks I've made are incorrect. In terms of the data at the end, does the data get sent in the form of a document? So the results, do they get sent in the form of a document, or does the panel from the university side have access to the system in order to view the live data, the live results, as to ensure that they have not been manipulated in the printing or the formulating of the document thereof, if that makes sense? I think that's just my remarks, and maybe the last one is more of a question. The others are remarks that can be clarified if my thinking is incorrect. You may continue, Ms. Ngozi and Mr. Tulane.
Perhaps before Itu goes through the presentation, let me respond to some of the remarks that Honorary Chairperson has made. Indeed, you are correct with quite a number of issues you have raised. We would not be able to know if a person has actually shared information of their voting status with any other person, just like in all electronic platforms. We do not have control over whether a person is going to be able to take a screenshot and share that information about their voting status with any other person. The system, however, can still be able to detect where a person was voting from. And I think if we are able to, if during the further information you would want to know the location of each and every person, I'm sure that information, and I'm saying this thing, I'm sure it can confirm it, that we can actually be able to tell where a person was actually voting from. But we wouldn't know who that particular person is sitting with, whether they are sitting with their family, they are sitting with a group of people, we wouldn't know. We would only see the results as they are transmitted through, you know, the system. Perhaps then you can go through that presentation.
Sorry, Mr. Tulane, Ms. Ngozi, before you come in, so you would be able to see if voter X and voter Y were sitting next to each other?
No.
I mean, your system, if your system says you can see where the person, the voter was sitting, so I mean, would it not look like two pins next to each other if you're using perhaps a GIS system?
I would need to clarify that with our technical team. At this point, I am a little bit apprehensive to confidently say we would be able to do that. I would need to clarify that with our technical team, if that is okay.
That's fine, Ms. Lucas. You may continue with the presentation.
Okay. Hopefully you can see my screen. So the URL is the one on top that each and every panel member would have received. Since we were provided with email addresses, the members of the panel received this URL via their email, and as soon as they clicked onto the URL, what would have came up would be the box that you are seeing on the right hand side, and on that box they would then input their ID number to log in, and as soon as they inputted that, they would receive a one-time, and once they logged in and submitted, they would then receive a one-time PIN notification on both devices that they would have provided, which would have been an email address and a mobile number. And once they received that one-time PIN, they would then enter the one-time PIN as the second authentication process. So what we did here is we did a multi-factor authentication to ensure that it was the intended panel member that was actually having access to the platform. And once they actually entered the platform itself, they would then see the three, again, and I think my screen is quite small, you can't see the name of the candidates. But if you look closely where they've highlighted, it would have been the names. Again, it would be the box on your right-hand side. They would have seen the names of the candidates, and next to the name of the candidate, there would have been a drop-down box for them to rank the candidate. And once they had ranked all three candidates, they would have then clicked the submit button. And once they had clicked the submit button, they would have then received a message that said you have successfully submitted your vote. And they would then click on the exit button to actually log out of the platform. What we try and do with all our platform, because we want to try and encourage participation, is we try and make them as user-friendly as possible and therefore simplifying the process. And at this point, I am going to pause and ask if there's any questions, because that is all what the voting process entailed for the elections.
Thank you, ma'am. And there were some few remarks, questions, I guess, clarity that I needed. But can I just, for record purposes, Anela, can you confirm that we are not live today? Because we flighted people's ID numbers, and in the case of which the meeting was live, that's a huge security risk. Can we just confirm, Anela, that we were not live?
Yes, the meeting is not currently live on our YouTube, but it is recorded. Yes.
Okay, so we would request that the segment where the ID numbers were flighted be removed in the archiving of the meeting for purposes of individuals' privacy. Ms. Ngozi, I then asked about so this data, so once we voted, the data then goes onto a cloud, like Honorable Lipsia said, and in the process of which Mr. Ezel will then go to Mr. Zelane for supervising and interrogating in terms of whether or not we follow due process with regards to the constitution of or the rules of council and their voting processes within the institution. That data then goes to council in what format? Would it be a PDF? Would it be a what formats would the data then be sent to council?
It would be a CSV file, which would be in the form of an Excel spreadsheet with just a summary of the outcome of how the result, the overall result. It would not detail how each panelist actually voted. It would just be the final numbers that this candidate received that this candidate was ranked XY and this candidate was ranked XY. But it wouldn't disclose how each panelist ranked those candidates.
Okay. So, Mr. Zelane, you can confirm that the data you sent to the institution and the data that the institution announced to, well, council announced to the institution and to society at large correlate?
Absolutely. I can confirm that, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else you would have liked to clarify from the many remarks that I had made?
Not quite, Chairperson. I think to a large extent what you were presenting is largely how the electronic system ordinarily operates, and then therefore this is no different from how you've actually described the process.
Okay. Okay, I just have a question or two which could be a little bit slightly outside of the remit of the work of the inquiry, but truly to the work of interest to the portfolio committee in terms of its work in science and innovation. I mean, there's been a great, what we call it, there's been an increase in the digital surge in society forced by the COVID-19 pandemic, and hence a greater reliance on digital platforms and interventions such as those that your company provides. And I'm sure that in terms of the demand for the services that your company provides probably shot up with the pandemic's arrival in our country. And there's been many concerns, I think, from our side as the Portfolio Committee on Science and Innovation on what we call perhaps cybersecurity. And, you know, your documents, the first document on the 11-page document that speaks to electronic voting platforms. And, you know, you take us through, I think it's on point 3, page 4, transparent operations are essential, and you take us through how you ensure that you know your platform has a secure encrypted solution that is safe from external database intrusion, you know, fully auditable, encrypted transmission of data, you know, and the document really does speak to how your company tries to ensure that the process is as protected as possible. But, you know, I mean, even with the increased call for, you know, secure blockchain systems to ensure that people's digital, information and data is secured, there's still a concern with the process at large. It's a great shift for society. And how do you, I mean, for those people who feel as though, in as much as we have individuals who we are taking through institutions of higher learning to have the skills and knowledge to catch up with the current demand of the digital surge, we are creating people who can provide security, but we are also creating people who, if not given the right conscientization or provided with the right social consciousness, can also just really be a harm to what we're trying to achieve in making these processes more accessible in light of this. And but I'm of the view that, thoughts of the fact that you can equally have people who are skilled to intercept or hack, you know, we call them hackers in processes like this. And I just perhaps would like a how you maneuvering around that as a company. As you are beefing up your security system, there are people who are beefing up their skills to intercept your security systems. And how can you assure us, I'm surprised that you went away, that the Higher Education Transformation Network had raised these concerns with the system, because, they were very influential in raising concerns with how the whole process took place at SMU, and even the concerns coming out of Professor Mbati's time at Univen. So I know you may feel as though your company is doing its best, which is correct. I mean, you must pride yourself in the work of your company, but it's important for us as a portfolio committee that when matters of this nature are brought to our attention, that we follow through and that we are assured by yourselves that, you know, you have followed due process. But how are you maneuvering around those valid concerns around the security of online or digital platforms?
Honorable Chairperson, I think, as you mentioned, as much as we try and beef up security, we also have hackers that are in the business of hacking platforms. What we try and do to always make sure that we protect the integrity of our platform is we actually also conduct our own penetration tests to ensure and to test that we are not left vulnerable or we are not left exposed. And as much as we can do as many vulnerability tests, we do realize that we could still be vulnerable. Hence us then making sure that data is encrypted. And it's encrypted during transmission as well as when it's at rest. So if anybody hacked into our system, they would not actually be able to make sense of that data because the data is encrypted. And it's encrypted when it's not being used, and it's encrypted whilst it's being used. So I think for us, encryption plays a critical role in ensuring that, you know, if our platform is hacked, the hackers are unable to then use the data that they have access to from our platform.
Thank you so much, Ms. Ndlozi. Ms. Zelane, anything from your side?
No, I wanted to say that, you know, the issues that you are raising are quite critical. Incidentally, we had the webinar recently that we're coordinating as IMSA, where we're looking at the issue of cybersecurity in elections. And then, as you've correctly pointed out, all the time, people who are using electronic platforms keep on trying to improve, introduce new innovations, but also people who are hackers, they keep on trying their level best. You may be aware that even in the recent U.S. elections, there were attempts on numerous occasions to actually try to penetrate the electronic system that the Americans were using. And a company that was running a number of elections in the U.S. was able to indicate how they've actually managed to secure the electronic platform during those elections. I think one of those companies you should participate in a webinar was the Dominion Voting System, which is originally a company based in Canada, which did quite a number of elections in the U.S. So there is a need for innovation all the time. There is a need to keep on making sure that we do not have people actually interfering in the system. But as you correctly pointed out, the more hackers also innovate. But it is something that we still believe that it's important that we give assurance that the system that we're using at least has not actually been interfered with.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zelane. Honorable Lithia's hand is up. Honorable Lithia, and may I confirm that Honorable Manamiso's hand is the lady here.
Yes, Chaitan.
Is on the transparency part. I had left that part out intentionally, hoping that my colleagues will cover that part. So, generally during the legacy voting system. I think maybe let's use that word legacy for let's use the word legacy a lot now. You know, the legacy voting system that we have in the country, you know, your former organization, the IEC, still uses the old or the legacy system of manual voting. But to try and be as transparent as possible, we have what we call party agents who sit there and observe the election so that they are deemed to be free and fair. So in this instance, in your electronic system, the voting of the SMU vice chancellor, the three candidates, did the party in the university, the different stakeholders in the university, the SRC, Institutional Forum, Senate, and all of that, the labor movement, they have sort of party agents seated with yourselves there looking at, or they have access to the system, because it was during lockdown level 5. So you might not have been in the same room. It might have been very difficult. But did you have what we call party agents? And by transparency, how transparent were you, so that everybody else would feel that the voting was free and fair?
Honorable Letsia, when it comes to electronic voting, the only time that we can actually ensure transparency is actually by saying the system is auditable. In other words, you can open up the system even after the process has actually happened, or even before it happens, and for people to be able to check, obviously technical people to check whether the information that is actually reflected is a true reflection of what actually transpired during a voting process. Now, the two issues that you have raised, and then I can speak with confidence on these issues because as honorable member knows, I have been part of the Electoral Commission for almost 20 years. The IEC also uses two systems. Now, you've correctly indicated that you've got the party agents at the voting station level. However, the transmission of the results is electronic. It does not happen manually. And because it happens electronically, the only time that the IEC can actually subject this to public through a transparent process is by getting political parties to actually investigate the system. You know, they get their technical people, and the system is actually shown to the party, to the political parties, on how that particular system operates. So the results coming from the municipality, until they reach the results center, everything there is electronic. And if you don't have party agents necessarily at the area where information is being input into the system. However, there is that transparent process of, the system being subjected to scrutiny by political parties through their technical people. And it happens all the time ahead of an election. Now, in the case of Sifako Makgato Health Sciences University, we were only given the names of people who were going to be participating. There was no requirement that the system should actually be scrutinized by any other person. We were given just the names of people who were going to be participating, and the brief was for us to utilize the system to facilitate voting by council members. So we did not have any other participant other than the participants whose list was shown earlier on.
Sorry, I muted myself. I hear that part. Ndlozi, you said your system immediately after, you said after 3 months or so, it erases the... so in essence, you don't have the votes now on your system. If we can try and get on your system, we can't get the voting patterns there or the voting results now on the system.
So we brought the platform down. So, because remember, this platform was housed on the cloud in a virtual machine. So that virtual machine has been closed down. We would have to ask our technical team to bring it back up. So at the end of every project, we leave it open for 3 months to allow for, you know, any comebacks, any queries around the platform. And if we don't get them from a security point of view, we then close it down because we wouldn't be constantly monitoring that virtual machine. But upon request, and in this instance, I can actually approach our technical team to say, please bring the platform back up. Because remember, some of these projects that we do are repeat projects, and we shut it down at the completion of a project, and we bring it back up if the project resumes again. So in this instance, if we did put in a request with our technical team, they would bring back the virtual machine and you would be able to then log onto the actual platform itself to see how the process worked. And if there was any audit that was required on the platform, you would also be in a position to do so.
Okay, so before you took it down, there was no audit done on it, so that at least you've got an audit report and you don't, you know, waste unnecessary company resources of bringing the process up again. You did not audit this particular process before you shut it down.
So usually our platforms as a standard are audited by BDO, because when we go out to market to get clients, they want to know the integrity associated with the platform. But audits around the outcome of the elections, usually if a client requests for them, we would factor that in a quote so that we then bring in auditors to audit the final results. And I think in the case of Sipapo Makgato, we did not receive a formal request to say we want the validity of the results audited. Hence, that's why we did not audit them. We, as Mr. Silani has actually indicated, we're not aware that there were the results were being contested and that there are several comebacks from other bodies within the institution around the whole process. Hence, us not having done an audit. We thought the results were accepted, and we did not audit the results.
Okay, so to an outside person, to stakeholders of Sipapo Makgato University, to the Higher Education Transformation Network, the Senate, the institutional forum there, and maybe to cancel to the SRC at Sipapo Makgato University. Would you then agree with me that these stakeholders, they can legitimately claim that the process was not transparent? Yes, transparent to you, because you understand your own technical system, but then agree with them if they were to allege that this system was not, or this voting system was not transparent.
Indeed, Honorable Lucia, we have never had any conversation with any of the stakeholders, and then therefore it would be appropriate and correct for them to say that they don't know much about the system. Because we never consulted with anybody, and we never had to share information about how the system works, other than those people who were participating in the process, which is the list that you received earlier on. So it could be a legitimate concern for those people, because we've never met with anybody. We never met with any of those stakeholders.
No. Once again, Chair, I want to say I'm highly impressed with the honesty of the company. No other people would have been evasive in answering. I mean, we have seen, including in this inquiry, when you ask a person during your time as a council member, there was this policy that you did not do. Why did you not do it? He says, no. We still feel it was right, even though they know, some of them very evasive, but to be honest, I've not really felt the evasiveness. In fact, if anything, I've sensed a high level of professionalism from yourselves, high level of honesty, I mean, if it was somebody else, this question, because people would have wondered, to hide something. There's no way we're transparent. Whereas even though transparency means everybody else must have access to that particular thing. But you correctly said that to those stakeholders, the Higher Education Transformation Network, to to the student representative, the SRC, to the student, the labor union, the NEHAU, and they are also the PSAs, they are there, you know, to the Senate Institutional Forum. You correctly point out that, yes, they would have legitimate concern that this process was not transparent because they did not have access to the information you had. They did not have access to the system. They did not oversee that those who had voted, seated at the comfort of their homes, as the system interprets the voting from this side, it gets that side as that particular thing. So, as the same. So, I think I would like to thank you very much, you know, and wish you luck in your business in trying to convince the Electoral Commission of South Africa to move into this space. And it would be extremely difficult, I can tell you, given that in this country we also have remote areas where there's a problem of network, and your system, I'm sure, requires that the USSD code that you spoke about, you know, if it's on email, you'll need the internet to access, and all of those things. I want to wish you all the best of luck, you know, in the success of your business. I'm generally a person who likes technology very much, and you know, I'm intrigued by the discussion that you had with the chair on cybersecurity and all of that. You know, I would have liked to, you know, just to enter and watch that webinar that you had recently, but I joined a lot of them, especially on cyber security and all of that. As a country, you know, our cyber security, we're told, is very low. Some of our institutions that we do oversight on will get the cyber security rank. Some of them, very big institutions, ranked at 2, ranked at 1, very bad, some of them. So I just wish you all the best. Maybe even if you can move into that space of cyber security, you know, in the country. And I think our government should also look into, you know, giving opportunities to this exciting project, companies from South Africa that are venturing into this space. In the ICT space, generally, you know, even in our institutions, Comrade Chair, our TVET colleges, our universities, you know, it's as if we are afraid to give opportunities to black-owned emerging ICT companies. We rely heavily on Microsoft and FAP, American-owned companies operating in that space. So we just hope that you equip yourself with as much knowledge as possible so that once we are at the point where everybody else has got the will to give black emerging companies an opportunity, you also play into that space. And that is just not to yourself, but to all other black-owned companies operating in the ICT space. Thank you very much once again to yourself for the sacrifices. You sacrificed the whole morning, and thank you very much, Chair. I think that will be all for me. Chair, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lipie. Can I just confirm that there's nothing else that
You're breaking, Chair.
Can I just confirm that there's nothing else that Mr. Zilani or Mr. Ngozi would like to say?
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, there isn't really anything other than really to express our gratitude for the interaction that we have had with yourselves. We benefited a lot, and we did not know, as I indicated earlier on, that there was this query. And if it had been brought to attention, perhaps we could have dealt with it much more earlier. Thank you very much for the opportunity. We really are honored to have appeared before you.
Thank you, Mr. Tilani. Ms. Ndlozi, anything from your side?
Honorable Chair, I share Mr. Tilani's sentiment.
Thank you. Thank you so much. No, I think we should definitely, as part and parcel of our work, Shanaz, Ms. Renee, colleagues from Science and Innovation, as part and parcel of our work in that sector, I think it would be very interesting to go into you know, discussions with yourselves in the future about cybersecurity in light of you know, trying to uphold democratic processes within our society and just, you know, within this pandemic and the increased reliance on digital platforms. Thank you so much once again. As honorable members have said, thank you also for just really assisting the process of the inquiry. We want to reiterate that the inquiry is not a witch hunt on anyone. We solely seek to resolve matters that have come before us and ensure that we can make the sector a safe environment, a conducive environment for everyone to thrive within, and to ensure that we don't repeat the same mistakes in the future. Thank you so much, colleagues. You may be excused.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members, colleagues from Legal Services. Thank you once again for your continued assistance. From now, the process is that the committee staff, the research unit, is in the process of really trying to put together a preliminary report of some sort for both Part A and Part B for members to engage on. But in those reports, it's absolutely essential for members to share their observations to assist in the process of putting together the report, so that you know, in the reflections of the inquiry, the sentiments of members emerge, not what the research unit analyzes or observes to be the sentiments of members, but also in the recommendations that will come out of the inquiry. It is absolutely essential that the views of members also come forth in putting together the preliminary reports of the inquiry, both Part A and Part B. So we will communicate with members on the advances thereof, but we really urge you to make your contributions in written format to the to send them forth to the Secretariat to assist them with the work that they are doing. We are now brought to the second part of our meeting this morning, which is to look into the minutes that must be adopted. It's two, if I'm not mistaken. So if we can just go, I think it's on the minutes of the first and the minutes of the second of June. Sorry, I'd just like to get the minutes out on my side. Apologies, colleagues, I'm just trying to open them on my side. Okay, so the minutes for the 1st of June 2021, where we received a briefing by the Department of Science and Innovation on the draft science technology and innovation decadal plans 2021-2031, and then we also received a briefing by TIA on the 2020-2025 strategic plan and annual performance plan and budget. Can I please note any member who would seek to make any amendments to the minutes? Okay, can I note hands that seek to adopt the minutes?
With Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Honorable Mananiso.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to adopt the minute of the 1st June 21 with just some addition on page 3, first bulletin, where it speaks about women and youth. I would want to suggest that on that part, we need to just write marginalized and vulnerable groups, because I believe as the portfolio committee, we've been consistent in terms of how we need to include all these societal groups when we even do our document. And I there move for the adoption of that particular minute as a pro-reflection. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mananiso. I hope the Secretariat will be able to liaise with with Honourable Mananiso to ensure that the minutes are amended as recommended. Can I note a hand that seeks to adopt, please, and that seeks to second? Sorry, I'm using my phone now, so it's a bit tricky on my side. Honourable Litzia, I see your hand has your mic has been open.
Yes, Danko Chair, I would like to second the adoption of the minutes with changes as proposed by Honourable Mananiso.
Thank you so much, Honourable Mananiso and Honourable Litzia. We'll now move on to the minutes of the 2nd of June 2021, where we received a briefing by Tshwane University of Technology on governance and related matters. Can I note a hand that seeks to make any amendment? Honourable Mananiso, would you like to make amendments?
Thank you, Chairperson. I here move for the adoption of the minutes as a pro-reflection. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Mananiso. Honourable Litzia?
Sorry, so my mic was closed. I wanted to just to fix Melanie things. I think if you go to the mayor, they're written in point form or in numbers form, 1, 2, 3, and then before we finish the meeting, it goes to number 4. Number 4 says consideration of minutes and report. So, and then at number 5, it then goes to the resolution of the meeting that was discussed in point 1, 2, and 3. So I would just like us to fix that part. So the resolution should be as part of, should be number 4. And then, because how we normally do things, we just discuss, finish the meeting, and then the last item becomes, like today, becomes the adoption of the minutes. So, but on this one, it's number 4, it's the adoption of minutes and report. Therefore, I would like us to make changes. Number 5 here should go to number 4, and then number 4 move to number 6. Therefore, it means number 5 moves to number 4, number 6 moves to number 5, and then as captured, number 4 moves to number 6, and then closure. But on the content, I'm very happy. I just did not see where we agreed that TOT will then give us progress report on the tasks that were given to them on a quarterly basis. With that addition, Chair, Moronaba Sutu Kupa Muva for the adoption of the minutes with those changes. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think those amendments are valid because the way you would read the meeting, the minutes should be in the format of which you would read the meeting. So I think colleagues from the Secretariat, if you could assist with just shifting the consideration of minutes and reports to the end, and then adding the matter around the recommendation that was set forth by the Portfolio Committee, just to ensure that it is very clear in under our resolutions. Honourable Ifea, you then second the minutes with those amendments, correct?
I'm actually moving for the adoption.
Okay. Honorable Mananisa had adopted without amendment, so yeah.
Okay.
So can you second with amendment?
I am seconding with amendment, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Lucia. Thank you. Honorable members, the last item that is just an announcement with regards to the next week's program. On Tuesday, we're going to UCT. The main reason that takes us to UCT is the fire that recently broke out at UCT, and the Portfolio Committee was very clear in sending through its a message of support, to the university. And coming out of that particular message of support, you know, as they were going through that difficult time, there was an agreement that we would go to UCT to see, the damage that has been done and how the university is trying to recover from that, and perhaps just look into how they could have mitigated. I mean, it's a wildfire, it's a natural disaster, so, you know, there's so much that the university could have done, but what else could they have done to have curbed that, and just going into what measures they can put in place to ensure that something of that nature doesn't happen again, but also to see how they've been able to recover from that. So that's the main reason that takes us to UCT. Of course, we won't go to the university without looking into just general matters around governance and administration and just engaging with stakeholders, their workers and students. So we're meant to be there from 9 to 1. I just would like members to already be flexible in terms of the time running over a bit. I think those of us who have done oversight visits when it comes to institutions of higher learning, very often that will run over time because you can't, you know, there's certain things you can't rush. And I'd really urge that members just try and be flexible with their time. Please don't book your flight for 3 o'clock at the risk. Rather book it for much later in the evening, if not the following day. Just so that we can do justice to our oversight visit. We mustn't do things for the sake of doing them. So can I just request that members be flexible in terms of, in case we run over time on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we'll be receiving a briefing by the Department of Higher Education and Training and the Department of Science and Innovation on the fourth quarter performance report and the first quarter report as well of 2021-2022. And I think next week on Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember, we will also then be having declarations in the House on the on our visit to the NASFAS headquarters. So yeah, so that's next week, colleagues, and thank you very much for availing yourselves this morning, and we will see each other on Tuesday. Honorable Lucy, I see your hand has gone up.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yesterday you asked us if there's no other matter. Today you forgot to ask. So I saw that you are now concluding. Chair, I think just one point that I think came out yesterday, consistent with how we've been doing. I think I would like to suggest that we write to one of the witnesses yesterday, Pendu, Me Pendu, to provide the committee, because she said she had done a six-month course with Damelin, I think, some years back. So we asked to provide the committee with that letter, Chair, so that we are consistent with what we've been doing all along.
So proof of the qualification?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, she said she couldn't find it. The institution couldn't provide her with the document. So I still think she still does not have proof of that qualification because the institution gave her the runaround. But what we can do to make sure is just ask the secretariat if they can request that in case she may have gotten it eventually. But what I understood is that she had struggled to get it. But let's just ask that the secretariat just confirm with her if she was eventually able to get the hard copy of her qualification.
Yes, and maybe if not, we can then try and establish from Dameline to verify with them if indeed she was registered there. That's so we're consistent.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's in order. Perhaps actually maybe we request from the committee if they can assist us in liaising with Ms. Pendu to get all of her all proof of her qualification, her matric, her UNISA qualification, as well as her Dameline qualification. Thank you very much, Honorable Lucia. Otherwise, if there's no other matter from members, I think we can call the meeting to an end. Thank you so much, comrades, colleagues and honorable members. Apologies. Thank you.
Danko.
Rata exceeding. Hey,
man.
Rata in. She looks to see. She said something problematic.
Recording stopped.